From Spark and Anvil and Cosmos Forge, this is Swirl, in Chapter 1 of the Cosmos Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Swirl sat cross-legged on the workshop floor, with a wooden spool in her paw, and a string wound tight around its middle, and she pulled. The spool leapt free and spun, a blur of pale wood, humming low, throwing a small breeze against her whiskers. She didn't watch it the way you'd watch a toy. She watched it the way you'd watch a friend do something brave. The hum thinned, the spin slowed, wobbled, and finally lay down still on the boards. She was a slim otter tween, brown and cream, quick in the eyes. Most tweens her age carried snacks in their pouch. Swirl carried the spool, because the spool told the truth about the whole universe, and she liked keeping the truth within reach. It wanted to keep going, she murmured, rewinding the string. It always wants to keep going. Something has to talk it out of it. That wanting had a name, a serious, grown-up name that she loved anyway, angular momentum. Once a thing is turning, it keeps turning until something interferes. Not a rule someone invented, a rule the universe simply obeys, from a spool on a workshop floor all the way up to a galaxy 100,000 light years wide. She pulled the string again, just to feel it want to keep going.
She had learned to respect spin long before she knew its proper name. Swirl grew up in a river village where her family had made wheels for as many generations as anyone could count. Cartwheels, mill wheels, the great slow water wheel that turned the whole town's grinding stones. Wheel making looked like carpentry from the outside. From the inside, it was something stranger, a study of balance. A wheel a hair off center would shudder as it turned, and the shudder would grow, and one wet morning, the whole thing would tear itself apart at the axle. She was 6 the day her uncle let her balance one alone. She got it almost right. For an hour, the wheel ran sweet and silent, and she felt enormous. Then a low tremor crept into it, so faint she nearly missed it, and by evening, the wheel was junk. You didn't do it wrong, her uncle said, seeing her face. You did it nearly right, which is harder to forgive yourself for. He set a fresh blank against the lathe. A balanced wheel spins for years. An unbalanced one spins beautifully and then betrays you. Spin's not decoration, little one. It's a discipline. Get it true, and it'll carry weight for a lifetime. Swirl never forgot the feeling of that tremor, the small dread of watching something spin wrong. It taught her that rotation was honest. It gave back exactly what you put into it, no more, no less.
When she was 22, she walked to the Cosmos Forge Academy with the spool in her pouch. And Nova, who led the place, asked her the only question that mattered there. What is galactic rotation? Swirl didn't reach for a textbook answer. She reached for the wheel and the river and the spool. It's a wheel the size of the sky, she said. A cloud of gas drifting with the tiniest lazy turn to it. Gravity pulls it inward, and just like a skater tucking her arms, the turn speeds up as it shrinks. The cloud flattens into a spinning disk, because that's what turning plus falling always makes. Then slow waves crowd through the disk, and where things crowd, stars catch fire. She paused. A spiral galaxy isn't a decoration someone painted on the dark. It's the shape a spinning thing has to take. It's history, frozen into an arm you can point at. Nova was quiet a moment. And how do you know your cloud ever spun at all, if it's flat now and calm? The same way I knew my uncle's wheel would fail, Swirl said, by looking at the shape. The sun sits in the middle. Every planet circles the same flat plane, the same direction, like scratches all made by one hand. That's not luck. That's the ghost of the disk they were born from, still holding its pose 4.5 billion years later. Nova smiled, slow and certain. You're appointed.
Her workshop filled, in time, with students,
and with the particular frustration of students who suspect the cosmos is too big to fit in their heads. A boy came in one afternoon looking cornered. "Spiral galaxies," he said, dropping onto the stool. "I've read it 3 times. Density waves, differential rotation, angular momentum, it just slides off. It's too enormous. I can't hold it." Swirl didn't argue. She reached into her pouch, wound the string, and set the spool spinning on the bench between them. "Don't hold the galaxy," she said. "Hold this." She nudged the spinning wood with one claw, and it shivered, kept turning. "It wants to keep spinning. Feel that? That stubbornness, that's the whole thing. Now," she pulled a bowl of water over and stirred it with her finger until a little whirlpool caught, drawing a dimple down its center. "Watch the middle sink and spin faster than the rim. That's your galaxy. The inside laps the outside. The sun takes 230 million years for one trip round, and the stars near the core have gone round 12 times in that same while." The boy leaned in despite himself. "The arms," Swirl went on, "aren't things. They're crowding. Think of a slow patch on a busy road. Cars pile up, ease through, and the jam stays put even though no single car does. Stars pile into the arms, squeeze, and catch fire from the squeezing. That's why the arms shine. They're where new stars are being made, right now, tonight." She tapped the bowl, the spool, the empty air. "Whirlpool, toy, galaxy. Same physics, only the size changed." The boy watched the little whirlpool spin down, and something behind his eyes went loose and open. "It's not a different thing," he said slowly. "It's this thing, just bigger." "It's always this thing," Swirl said. "The sky's just showing off the scale."
The workshop emptied toward evening, amber light lying long across the floor. The boy lingered at the door. "Can I ask a real one?" he said. "Does it ever stop feeling huge? When you look up and it's actually a galaxy, not a bowl of water?" Swirl thought about her uncle's wheel and the tremor she'd felt at 6, and the first time she'd understood that the same dread lived inside a collapsing star cloud 1,000 light-years away. "It stays huge," she admitted. "I don't want it to shrink, but it stops being scary huge." She rewound the string, slow. "Because I know the trick now, that the biggest thing up there obeys the smallest thing in my paw. The universe isn't showing me something I can't touch. It's showing me the spool, over and over, as far out as I can see." She set the toy spinning one last time and let them both watch it hum down to stillness. The boy left, and Swirl stayed on the amber floor a while longer, the quiet settling around her like water going smooth after a stir. There was that old warmth in her chest, the same steady gladness she'd felt as a wheelmaker's daughter, the first time a wheel ran true and silent and kept running. Her shoulders eased. She breathed out slow. Somewhere above the workshop roof, 100 billion stars were leaning into their long, patient turns, obeying the very rule that lay quiet now in her open paw. And she felt not small under all of it, but oddly at home, as though the whole spinning sky had simply agreed with her about something, and there was nothing left to prove.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Swirl. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.